Hey there, friends. Welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and I get to read the Word with you today, and we're going to be into Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Looking forward to that already, and I've enjoyed preparing for this one. So if you would, grab your Bible if you can, and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's Word together. So, here we are on our 83rd day, reading through His Word, and the Lord's led us right here at this moment, at this time, to read the 15th chapter of Matthew. And in this 15th chapter, we're going to see some confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus is going to teach about what really defiles a person, and a little bit of compassion, once again, as we saw in the last chapter, plays right into showing just how compassionate Jesus is. See, chapter 14, we just saw these miraculous events. Jesus fed over 5,000 people with just five loaves and two fish. Then we saw Jesus walking on the water, and then we seen Peter attempting to walk on the water towards Jesus, and he did until his faith wavered because he took his eyes off Jesus. That taught us about the importance of trusting in Jesus without doubt. It gave us the opportunity to reflect on the compassion that Jesus had for those 5,000 people in spite of the heartbreak that he was feeling for the death of John the Baptist as he heard that news, as Herod ordered him to be beheaded. And now, we're going to see chapter 15, some different things play out. Here's the three big look-fors as we read chapter 15 today. The first look-for in our scripture to help us grasp a deeper meaning as we read is, I want us to look for the comparison of tradition versus commandment. Here's what I mean when I say that. Look for how Jesus addresses the Pharisees' concern about outward rituals rather than the intentions of the heart. There you go. Jesus quotes Isaiah. And when he quotes Isaiah, it's to emphasize that worship is more than just lip service. It must go beyond that, and it must be a commitment level, a heart level commitment. That is what worship is. It's not as ritual, but it is a commitment of the heart. And that pushes us to reflect on our faith too, doesn't it? I encourage you to think that, be in that mind frame as we read this together. The second big look for today is Jesus explaining what it is that defiles a person. To defile is to make something ritually unclean. See, the Pharisees tried to remain in this state of purity. Yet, by focusing on this external purity, the Pharisees did not understand what truly defiled a person, what made them unclean. And Jesus explains this in Matthew 15 today. So keep your ears open for that. What it is that defiles a person, not what goes in, but what comes out. And that's a big shift because this is now talking about dietary laws. And these Jewish dietary laws were strict. Jesus, being as radical as he is, says, stop. It is not about what goes into your mouth. It is what that comes out. It is internal purity, not external compliance. There you go. And finally, our third look for is this Canaanite woman and her faith. Watch Jesus initially ignore, but then he praises this woman's faith. And this kind of highlights Jesus's mission of extending beyond Israel and the Jews to the Gentiles. This is important. But also, gives us opportunity to look at the persistence of faith and its power. The power that persistence has to draw Jesus' compassion and miracles. This is a persistent woman. Watch this. Watch it all unfold in Matthew chapter 15. So, here we go. Let's jump straight into it together. Matthew chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1. And we'll read all the way down or over, or however that looks like in your Bible, to verse 39. Here we go. Starting Matthew 15, verse 1. Then Jesus was approached by Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem, who asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "Why do you break God's commandment because of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever tells his mother or father, whatever benefit you might have received from me is a gift committed to the temple. He does not have to honor his father.' In this way, you have nullified the word of God because of your tradition. Hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied correctly about you when he said, 'These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines human commands.'" Verse 10. Summing the crowd, he told them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person." Then the disciples came up and told him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind guides the blind, both will fall into the pit." Then Peter said, "Explain this parable to us." "Do you still lack understanding?" he asked. "Don't you realize that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles a person. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, slander. These are the things that defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile a person." Verse 21. When Jesus left there, he withdrew to the area of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came and kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. Have mercy on me. My daughter is severely tormented by a demon." Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples approached him and urged him, "Send her away because she's crying out after us." He replied, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said. "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus replied to her, "Woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want." And from that moment, her daughter was healed. Verse 29. Moving on from there, Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee. He went up on a mountain and sat there, and large crowds came to him, including the lame, the blind, the crippled, those unable to speak, and many others. They put him at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd was amazed when they saw those unable to speak talking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they gave glory to the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they've already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, otherwise they might collapse on the way. The disciples said to him, Where could we get enough bread in this desolate place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked them. Seven, they said, and a few small fish. After commanding the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They collected the leftover pieces, 7 large baskets full. Now there were 4,000 men who had eaten, besides women and children. After dismissing the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. And that is the reading of Matthew 15. Let's take a moment to reflect, unpack, and find application in what we just read together. Okay, Matthew 15. Let's look at some takeaways here and some practical application that we have here. First of all, I think a big thing that jumps out right off the bat is Jesus saying, hey, we can't just give this stuff lip service. It is a heart issue, and it's not about ritual. It's about heart. What we read today, Jesus challenges us to look beyond these religious formalities, these traditions that can become hindrances, and instead focus on the condition of our hearts. You see, true purity, what purity is, it isn't about following rules perfectly, compliance and checking every box, but it's about love, mercy, and truth in our hearts. That is where heart is more important than ritual. And so this lends us to really look at what we do spiritually, doesn't it? Are the things that we do about appearance, or are they about a genuine relationship with God? And so what we can do is to really pray about this and ask God to align our hearts with his will. What we are doing, more than tradition, more than ritual, is this within your will to glorify you, Father? That is where our heart should start, to ensure that that what we do is a heart thing, right? The second big takeaway is that power of words. I cannot speak to you the number of times I've had to share with not just children, adults too, that our words are so powerful. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus teaches us that our words are a window to the heart. It's our heart's condition. You want to know a man or a woman's status spiritually, listen to the words that come from their mouth, because our words have the power to bless, they have the power to curse, they have the power to defile, to build up, or to break down. And so what we have to do is to realize that yes, our words really absolutely matter, even in the most minute, minuscule conversations that we may have, our daily interactions. They matter. So before we speak, we need to consider the words we're going to say and ask ourselves, are these words reflecting Christ's love and are they building others up? If they're not building others up, then they must be tearing them down or they're not reflecting Christ's love. We've got to find that delineation there, that mark there, and we got to put a hard stop on anything that doesn't reflect God's love or build others up. Imagine if all of our conversations we could truly say it's all about building others up and not tearing down. And if it has a purpose in tearing down, we got to approach it differently. All right. And our third and final takeaway, I could sit on that second one a long time. I'm not going to. Our third and final takeaway is, once again, that God's plan is for everyone. It's inclusive. That faith of the Canaanite woman, that Gentile, it reminds us that God's love and his salvation, it's available to all, regardless of our background, regardless of our nationality, regardless of what we've done, regardless of our history, what might define us. His love is for everyone. And so I encourage you today, if you're hearing this and you think that you are not worthy of his love, then maybe you haven't earned his love. Look at who I am. Look at what I've done. Guess what? The truth of the gospel is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we can get it together, but while in our brokenness. We are loved that much. The gospel is for all of us, whosoever may believe. Thanks for joining me today. Hope you have the very best day ever. May you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And as a result, may you strive to be a blessing to all those around you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.